Welcome to another life-changing message preached live at Hope City Church. We hope you'll be encouraged and inspired by God's word to live your best life yet. So get ready to hear from God as you enjoy the message.
Right, you can take cheese, give somebody a high five. High five, high ten. Low five, side five. Brilliant. Oh, this is nice. Feeling good. And I'm looking forward to this. A few stories, story time, and we thought what would be really great to do this weekend is actually get some real life stories, right? You hear enough from me, you hear enough from Lisa, you get all our stories, all our life, here's our history. I thought let's mine the gold that's in this incredible congregation, right? And find out some story and some of the way that God has worked in some lives. We've got three quite different lives and some different stories, but I think it will bless us in our walk with God, and it's just good to be able to thank God for what He's done in different lives, isn't it? So we've got the three stools for my three friends. So let's get them up. Let's get Andy Houghton, Andrew, come give Andrew a round of applause. Come sit down. Give Andy Moore a round of applause, like you actually like him. Hi, Andy. Hello.
Hi, Dave.
Good to see you. Great. And where's John Clark? John Clark, come on. Clap, John. You need to clap him all the way down to the front, guys. Come on. Take your microphone. Take your seat. And it's good? You comfy?
Yeah, good.
Good. Check your mic.
Hello.
There he is. There's the boy. Okay. And lastly, but no means leastly, Haley Harrison. Come on, big round of applause. Clap her up here. Haley. Okay, nice. Microphone for you. Got a wide one for you. You can do a song at the end, it looks like. You can finish us off, right, with a song, right? So you just be thinking about that as we chat. That'd be good. Wasn't Haley amazing last week singing? I've never heard her sing solo before. Let it snow. We did let it go, then let it snow, didn't we? Let it go. So anyway. That's good. So, right, we're going to do this interview style, right? So they don't just have to just talk for 7 minutes each or whatever it is. But let's find out. Just introduce yourself. I don't know, say a little bit of something about who you are, what you do, a bit of your family.
Hi, my name's Andy.
Hi, Andy.
I'm 50. Wow. I'm married to Alex, and I've got two boys, Jack and Ethan, and I work for a charity called City Heart.
Yeah, you do.
Hello, my name's John. I am 22.
What?
I know, right? Life story, eh? I am a fine arts student, and
Fine art. Yeah, good. Fine arts.
And, also work for City Hearts a little bit. Wow. You know, take care of the slack Andy leaves, so quite busy.
Yeah, awesome.
Hi, I'm Hayley. I am 31.
No. What?
I've got a little girl, Pearl, and I am married to Ben.
Yeah, Ben.
And I have just opened my own hairdressing salon.
Wow.
Just got to plug it.
It's good. How's it going?
Really well.
Yeah?
I'm really busy.
Yeah, good. Good, good. Getting a break over Christmas?
Yes. Well, 2 days.
Oh.
I would like more.
Yeah. Oh, well done. Well done. So, so you've all got stories about how God's worked in your life and through your lives. But I think what we'll do first, just get a little bit of background, right, from all three, and then we'll dip in to your stories, all right, if that's okay. So just give us a little bit of your background first, Andy.
I was brought up in a Methodist church in the northeast of England. Wow. And I became a Christian when I was 9 years old. There was a youth group in the church led by a guy called Philip Bush. And
it's good detail.
Just came back to me. And and it was summer, and I just remember loads of people were getting saved in the church, in the youth group. And I just remember going to Philip and saying, I want to be a Christian. And he said, go home, just pray at home. So... It didn't seem strange at the time, but just go. And so I went home, I went to my bedroom and I prayed, asked Jesus in my life, and it was just really exciting.
Wow, that's amazing. It really is. Wow. And John?
Yeah, I was kind of brought up in a Christian home, Christian parents. Church was, you know, a regular thing. But it was kind of like, oh, I think it was just me, like, being carried by, like, my parents' faith and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so
sure.
That's how it was. That's how it started. But I got, like, baptized when I was, like, 7. But
did you?
Yeah. Like, but
did you know what was happening?
Well, kind of. Well, not really. So, yeah, I think it was very much my parents' faith at first.
Yeah, sure.
That I was just here.
So where did you grow up?
Just on the world.
Oh, yeah, okay.
On the world.
Wherever it is. No, that's amazing. You got a couple of sisters?
Yes, yeah, 2 sisters. They're both in the Sheffield congregation.
Did they is their first faith journey similar to yours? Did they kind of get baptized young and then?
Yeah, we all got baptized at the same time, actually. So yeah, it's quite.
That's
quite
nice.
Cute. Yeah, quite nice. Yeah.
Brilliant. Hayley, what about you?
I grew up as well in a Christian home. Like previous to that, my dad was in an accident just before I was born. So I grew up without him because he passed away. And so throughout my childhood, I was often quite angry with God because I kind of didn't understand why, you know, it was him and he was a good man and, you know, all them things. And so I had like an on and off relationship with God really throughout most of my childhood. I'd kind of, you know, go to meetings and I'd say, yes, I want to be a Christian. But then, like, things would happen and I'd be like, but why? Why?
Yeah, sure.
And, yeah, so that was kind of my childhood.
Did you get baptised, like, when you were little and stuff? Like
No. It was when I was older.
Yeah, okay. No, that's cool. So, Andy, you've given your life to the Lord, as it were. When you were 9, you kind of made the commitment as good as you could at that time. So did you, like, so is your... Is your life since then? Have you been like in church and going for it and through the stages of life?
Not long after I made that commitment, maybe a year or so, the church split.
Oh, wow.
Don't think it was my fault. and all the people that had inspired me, if you like, left and formed a house church.
Wow.
So I don't remember that much about it, but I just, in a sense, I feel like when I grew up in my teenage years, I felt quite dry. I was still going to church, but it was quite dry, and I think I had a lot of difficulties with it at school, and lots of stuff like that. So when I went to university, I decided to redefine myself. That was actually that was the first time I didn't change my name by default, but that was the first that was the first time I changed my name from Andrew to Andy.
Oh,
And from this day forth, he shall be known as Andy. So that's how I introduced myself at university. And that, to me, was making the break from my past. And unfortunately, I made the break from church at that time as well. And I just felt like I needed to reinvent myself at that time.
Okay, so you just kind of got into life. Different things,
yeah.
Which you're not going to get into. John, what about you? Because obviously that's kind of like going through like those... That stage of life, maybe teens, late teens, and all that. What about you? You hit that age. You've been going to church, got baptized, all that kind of stuff. How about you facing those challenges? It's not that long ago, is it? It's only like, gosh.
No. So from about the age of 11, it's hard because like when you're in church, raised up through your parents. It was weird. It was kind of like my parents were seen as like they had everything together, and we were like a poster, like Christian family. Do you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, okay.
So like from about the age of 11, like things weren't going so right at home, and like one of my parents like stopped going. So it was kind of like a shock to the system, really.
Yeah, sure.
And from that, it was just like I kind of grew out of the church. Like there's no real reason for me to go because my parents weren't carrying me through. So yeah, just trying to fit into a lot of alternative scenes that you could probably imagine like teenagers have. So yeah, just that.
So you were like it's realizing it's not like everyone's not Christians and other people are doing this stuff.
It was like it's actually not normal to be Christian. That's what I thought, like, and I just wanted to kind of fit in just to be Just be regular, regular person.
Yeah. So what did you think about God at the time? You know, how did you view God, or how did you think God was viewing you and your...
I always thought, like, I always understood that God was like a father figure and things like that. It wasn't really God exactly. It was the association with God I had. Like, it's been a bit of a fallout with my family, and I associated God with what had happened. So I always, whenever people started talking about God, it would bring like a lot of like sore points and things like that. So yeah, it was just like church environment. I just kind of wanted to get away from
sure.
it. So
sure. Wow. Oh, well, we'll come back, because obviously you're here now. So something...
I guess better, I guess.
Something's happened. Something happened. And so, hey, because you said that stage of life, were you going to church through your teenage years and stuff?
So, as I said, it was very, like, on and off, and I was in and out, and my mum kind of made me go to church every week till I was 16.
Oh, yeah.
I got to 16... I'd been going to like youth events and felt like I was like, you know, at this point I was like, yeah. And God had spoke to me quite clearly about going into hairdressing and all them things. And I was all for it. And then I got to college and it was just like everything else seemed so exciting. And the kind of, I'd felt like I'd never met the mark growing up, that like, there was like a standard that you had to meet to be a Christian or a good Christian.
Yeah.
And I never felt like I'd met that. And so I remember thinking, I'm sick of feeling like a failure. Like, sure. I don't want to feel like a failure anymore. So that's it. And so I think I got to 16. I probably, in some ways, was really all for it, but was feeling quite suffocated, because the school I went to was Christian. Went to church every Sunday. And I was a bit like, oh, I've had enough, and this all seems so exciting. So I kind of drifted off then into a world of other things.
Oh yes. Well, what happened? You can tell us a little bit.
So I obviously was going out drinking, clubbing, all that type of stuff. And then I went through a very difficult situation around 21. And it kind of pushed me into the whole drug scene. So I ended up, you know, go on nights out, and I would have cocaine, ecstasy, and I would push it and push it, because I didn't really have any self-worth or, like, cared what happened to me, really.
Wow. So. Wow. That's pretty epic. It's great to be able to look at you now and have no... love it when you can look at someone and you have no idea. You can look at them and go, God, I have no idea that that was what was happening in your life, or that you went through that, because it's such a transformation and such an overcoming. It's great, and we'll hear kind of how, a little bit of how that happened for you in a moment. But John, what brought you back, right? What brought you back to God? Or to God for the first time, really? You know, first time properly.
Yeah. So my sister moved away to university in Sheffield, Hallam. So it was kind of strange, because Becky was like involved with like youth clubs. So it was kind of like a door into like church and things like that. So I just kind of like go over, visit Hope City, Sheffield every now and again, and I just thought, oh, you know, it's all the parents that are like trying to make you go to church. If I went every once in a while, they'd kind of give me a bit of break if I don't go all the time.
Sure. Good move.
Yeah. But yeah, it was just literally like when I came back, I soon realised that these are normal people. You know, they've got normal everyday stuff going on, and you know they don't judge you automatically when you come in, and all the preconceptions that people might have. It's just, you know, it was just a great atmosphere to be involved with, and you know, when I first started coming to Liverpool here, I literally thought like someone was telling you know, people what to say in the preachers. I was like, oh my word,
really? Yeah.
What is my sister saying, like, to these people?
That was for me. That was today, pastor. Yeah.
But yeah, just I just, you know, I was blessed to have great leadership, great people in my life, great men, like, just to show me like how to be risen up as a man, and a, you know, to believe of God, and yeah, just, you know, subtle things that just kept on going, really.
Yeah. Was there a moment when you were like, right, I've crossed the line, I'm in here?
Yeah. It was. I remember one of the Rogers preachers actually. It was about we were going through the Book of David, and it was all about David and Saul, the way he treated God's anointed, and for me it was like, oh, it's a lot of grace, a lot of closure of what went on for my family and stuff like that. It was just a lot of God, you know, there might be scars, but you know, through you, battle scars, they're kind of scary for an opponent, on a battlefield, if a warrior's got battle scars. So just how he completely transferred a bad story, like Lisa was saying before, a bad story, it's just a good story. And just
I love that.
You know, give you momentum, give
yeah,
you an unstoppable force behind you, really.
Yeah, man. I love that, John. That's great. So, Hayley, what did happen with you?
So, I met Ben. On one of my nights out, and wasn't looking my best. Got to admit, it's 4:30 in the morning.
It's the best time to meet Ben.
Yes. anyway, we were together for probably a year, and I'd thought about God on and off. I'd used to kind of circle, and I was a very restless person. And I remember it was every 3 months nearly, literally. And I'd be I don't know if I want to be with him. And I just feel I just got to go. I just couldn't settle anywhere. And then I just felt one day, I was I've got all the things that I think I thought I really wanted. And I'm just not happy. All these things should make me really happy, but there's just something that isn't right. And I knew, I think because I'd grown up knowing about God and I had some kind of relationship with him, that was what was missing for me. And so I just said to Ben, I think I want to go back to church. And thankfully for me, he was very supportive and was well, if that's what you want to do, you know, go for it. So that was how I kind of came back.
That's amazing. So you came back, what began to change then?
Do you mean afterwards?
Yeah.
I remember lying there one night and just thinking, I just felt so happy. I felt full of joy. That was the only way I could describe it. I felt peaceful. I was just really happy. And I had all the same things, but the one thing, God, was the thing that made me feel so happy.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
No, that's great. That's really good. And Andy, right, do you think God can keep hold of you, right? Even though you drifted away, do you think, oh, actually, as you look back, you go, God kept hold of me? And
yeah. When I was 19, there's this little story I want to tell you. I was driving an old banger of an Escort. I'd visited some friends in Manchester, and I was driving back to the northeast, and the car conked out on the M62, and the radiator boiled dry. And if you're as old as me, you'll know that it's 1984. There's no mobile phones; haven't been invented.
Hard times.
I hadn't even crossed my mind to be in a breakdown service company, and I was just stranded. And the car conked out on this rise, in this lay-by. And in the lay-by, there was a porter cabin. So I walked up to the porter cabin, and. Went up the steps, and the porter cabin was open. Opened the door, went inside. There was a sink. I went to the sink, and I thought, "How will there be water in the tap?" Turn the tap. There's water in the tap. This is for the radiator for the car. I thought, "Well, how am I going to get water back to the car?" I opened the cupboard. There's a bottle. Sounds like Alice in Wonderland, doesn't it?
fill me.
So I filled the bottle with water. Went back to the car. Filled the radiator, and it got me home. And I thought about that a lot over a number of years, because I thought, well, that to me is a miracle, because it was very much like a what if situation. What if that hadn't happened? What if that porter cabin wasn't there? And I was thinking, well, what's that about? Because I'm not following God. I haven't prayed. I haven't asked God for anything. I haven't asked God for protection. Yeah. And he's provided this. And I thought, you know, I don't deserve it. I believe in God, but I'm not following God. So that was quite a thing, really. But I came back when I finished university. I came back to my parents. They were in another Methodist church, and I came back there. And I didn't really have any intention of coming back to God. But there was an amazing youth group there, and they used to travel around to all the little village churches in North Yorkshire and preach and work, play worship. And I just wanted what they'd got, and I asked God back. I recommitted myself, and I got my excitement back. And yeah. And it was from that point that I saw amazing answers to prayer. I started praying for jobs, and the phone would ring. So that was really amazing.
Oh, no, that is good. Look, you can carry that on a bit, because you said to me that you believe God's hands are on you, even when you don't always feel like it. But you've seen in your life when it maybe doesn't feel like it, but as you look, you say, oh, God's hand actually is on me. How's that kind of work out?
Yeah,
for you?
I mean, you can have. I could have had some really tough times. I'd done a degree in food technology, and that put me into the market for being in factories. And I worked in a yogurt and trifle factory in Rotherham.
Wow.
And I had a falling out with my manager, and it was horrendous. I remember I used to drive home to North Yorkshire at weekends and dread going back to work, and it was awful, and just awful. And then there's been other times, for example, being at when I was on the Wirral, I worked at Cadbury's, and I ended up being sacked, and it was all down to those nasty magic animals.
Oh, yeah.
And then I had another job where I was in, and that's another story for another day. And I was also in, I was the manager of a young person's homeless hostel, and there'd be riots that I had to contend with.
Wow.
But I think all the way through that, God was shaping me. And when you're in the midst of that situation, you think, this is really bad. This can't be God's will. Where are you, God? And it's only when you look back over a number of years, you think, God's prepared me. So many times I felt like a round peg in a square hole, and I felt undervalued, and just really bad experiences. But, you know, looking back now, I think God's really used those experiences to shape me.
Because I think maybe there's people here who feel the same, feel square peg, round hole, God, what's the point of this? Well, what would you say?
Well, I'd probably say just hang in there. God has got a purpose in these things. You've got to see, you know, in a few years' time, or whatever God's time, you'll realise that God's got you in a situation for a purpose.
Sure.
Even though it's might be really tough at the time.
Yeah, and you're doing City Hearts now. How's that? Is this another square peg, round hole situation?
No, I think I'm round in the round. I think all those experiences have equipped me for this time. But having said that, I think even in the job I'm in now, it's a faith step. It's God has to equip me every day, but He's given me all those work experiences. Sure. that help me through.
Yeah, nothing's wasted. No, that's great. It's great, Andy. And Hayley, can you relate to that thought that He's always working, even when it's like, well, I don't know what's going on, and you've had to kind of hold on to that kind of thing? How's that for you?
Yeah, I can definitely relate to that. As many of you will know, up until very recently, my husband wasn't coming to church or believing in God. And so when, like, at the start of our relationship, I think it was not long after I started back at church, Ben had proposed, and I really prayed a lot about it. Well, I said yes, sorry. I did say yes.
Yeah.
And then I prayed a lot. And I gave God, like, full permission to step in and change the situation if I'd made a mistake. And I kept bringing it back to him, and there was just three occasions where you just said the same thing, and it was just, He will come. And I was like, okay. And I had lots of people saying things, you know, well, you got to be careful, you know. And but I felt God had spoke so clearly, and then there was lots of things kind of following that were just confirmations, really, that God was there in it with me. So there was a preach by Andy Gorman, actually. Yeah, and a long time ago now. And it was all around the same time, and he said, when God gives you a promise, like, stand firm, do not let it go. You just hold on. And it's always stuck with me, and I've had to do that. And it's taken 7 years. But he's here.
He's here. No, it's amazing. And I think a couple of weeks after, maybe it was a week after the baptism, that I was over in Preston, and I just mentioned, you know, what had gone on with you guys and, you know, 7 years and all that stuff. And there was someone there in the congregation who it was like a real word from God and a real encouragement for them, because there are a lot of people similar to you, you know, believing for their partner, their husband and their wife to come to faith in Jesus Christ, and to see that for you to stand in faith and keep going with God, you know, like you have done, is incredible. But to actually have received the answer to your, you know, your prayer and your faithfulness and have been with you is an incredible thing. And just this this lady who's in a similar situation, you know, it's like, it just gave her that, you know, because it feels like, well, is this ever going to happen, you know? But even your story is like, it's already having encouragement to others, saying, come on, just keep in there, you know, God's got his purpose and plan. So, you know, well done. Oh, well done to you. And John, how has God helped you face just the reality of what's, you know, been going on in your life, in your world? Because you've hinted at a couple of things, but...
Yeah, there's been a few changes, like, in the past couple of years. It's seen, like, end of my parents' marriage, seen me move out of my family home, seen my mum become diagnosed with MS. But, you know, like, we're part of the world, and we're going to face changes, aren't we? So, like, it's just so secure and so refreshing just to know that God is ever constant, ever reliable. He's always there. He's always a father figure for you. So, you know, he's my blessings, like, far outweigh my trials.
That's amazing.
So,
that's amazing.
Yeah, just honestly, just so happy with what he's done, how he's blessed my family. We're all in church, all, like, going for it. So, yeah, just, you know, he's just been so faithful to us.
Yeah, oh, that's amazing. Really is. And because you said somewhere you thought, oh gosh, God's kind of, we feel like maybe I've failed, or maybe I've, you know, how's that turned around for you now, your view of how God kind of looks at you and looks at life and difficulties?
Sure, he's just said that, you know, it kind of like the prodigal son story, like, you go and you're like, oh no, God's gonna hate me, I've gone away, I've, like, let him down, I've gone and done my own thing. But literally, just like, oh, you know, just being in the presence of God is just, it's so warm, and it feels, it's just so right, you know? It's like, it just felt like I never went away. So it's just been so refreshing, so forgiving. And yeah, just felt right at home here,
That's awesome, John. You'd mentioned as well, Hayley, that, well, about your dad, you just really mentioned it just at the beginning. And he died before you were born. It's amazing. And so that kind of impacted how, you know, we talk about God as Father, and so it had a big impact, you know, on you and how you viewed God. How's that changed? How's kind of God let you know that he's a good father?
I think probably the best things that I've seen has been that he's been, like, my provider. I've never, like, seen provision like it. Just, like, even with, like, the times of thinking, is Ben ever going to come to church? God, can you give me something just to keep me going? And he did every time. And it was like, it's like when you have a baby, you see a parent, like, as a parent, like, what you would do for them, and you'd do anything for them. And then you think, oh my goodness, how much more does God want to do for us? And then more, like, because he loves us more than we could love anyone, doesn't he? So it's just amazing, really. Like, I've just realised, like, he's my dad. And that's it's been lovely for me.
That's beautiful. Yeah, that's amazing. So, kind of to bring to conclusion, right, what are you thankful for, like, 2014, what are you thankful for this year, and as you look forward into next year? Let's start with you, Andy.
In my job at City Hearts, I feel like we're really pioneering, and what I love is the way that God, when you're doing something like a compassion ministry, I love that. You're really getting alongside people. You're really getting involved in their lives. And it's not always easy. And I love that God is with me in that. And he's equipping me in that. And it is a very rewarding thing to do. And that's what I love about 2014 and into 2015. I feel like in my job, but in my faith as well, I am stretching the tent pegs. And, you know, we hear that a lot in this church. So that's what I'm excited about. The story's not over.
Sure.
It's God's got great things in store, and that's what I'm excited about.
Yeah, that's great, Andy. John?
It's got to be students, hasn't it? we had faith to start the year that we would get them.
She left, didn't she? No, sorry. Yeah. Carry on.
No, they all went. But they just haven't, you know, they're not just filling seats. They're part of the house. That, you know, there is a great culture there. And, you know, like my family, like my sister came to church through, like, a student worker. Like, I think, like, and I believe that it's not going to just be them. I think it's going to be, like, their families as well. That's going to be impacted when they come in. So just so excited to start that you guys have got your heart for the house. I'm just so looking forward to where they're going to go.
Yeah, amazing. Hayley?
It's been a pretty incredible year this year. I've had Ben come up to God and my business, which God put in my heart when I was 16. And I've finally seen it, you know, coming to pass. But I can't remember who I was talking to, but I just said, I can't believe all this has happened this year. And they were like, I know, and there's more next year. And I was like, oh yeah. You kind of think like the story stopped because you've got all the things you've been praying for so long.
Wow.
And I'm like, okay, I need some new stuff to pray for now.
Yeah, amen.
So yeah, it's good.
No, it's brilliant. No, God has got more. You know, this year is the foundation for everything that comes, you know, next year. You know, some things have been put into place, things are in motion that you've been praying for, and now is the time where God will expand your dreams and visions together. You know, it's not just you like powering on, come on God. You got Ben side right there with you, all fresh and new and ready for what God's got for you guys. It's incredible. Why don't we give a big round of applause to all these guys. You can stay sat. Maybe you can go back to your seat, because otherwise you might feel awkward in the next 2 seconds. So, yeah, give them one more round of applause. It'd be awesome. And maybe what we'll do just to finish off, we're going to pray, right? So why don't we just close our eyes? Because I think there's some things in those stories. There's some, you know, you've listened, you thought, oh gosh, yeah, I really want to see some of those things that I've been believing God for a long time to turn around. Maybe you're like Andy and you're in the middle of, you're in the middle of the story, the middle of the testimony, where it feels like, what's going on? What's happening? What's the point? And God wants to strengthen you and encourage you. Maybe you are, you know, you're going through the phase that all these guys seem to go through, where they kind of were thinking, what is God real, or what have you. Maybe you're even a parent and you're wondering about your kids. Are they gonna come through with God? Are they gonna come back to God? So I think right now we just bring everything that's just been triggered in our own hearts and minds and bring that to God right now. Let's just close our eyes, just bow our heads, and I'm going to pray, and you pray as well for your own life and own circumstances and situations. Father God, Father, we come to you right now. Father, we thank you. We thank you for these incredible stories, Lord God, and Lord, a variety of lives and circumstances and ages and situations, Lord God, and yet they all represent the fact that you're full of love and you're full of grace, Lord, and that nothing is wasted with you, Lord, and even when someone may seem like they're far away, Lord God, you can still reach in, Lord God, and turn their lives around, draw them to you. You don't forget any one of us. You don't leave any one of us just to wander around and wander through life in an aimless and pointless kind of way. You've got a great purpose and a great plan for our lives. We bring our stuff to you right now. Why don't you say a prayer? Why don't every single one of you just say a prayer? You bring it to God. ask God to help you if you need his help. Bring that thing that you're saying you've been praying for, bring it to God once again, maybe with a fresh sense of faith. He's faithful. God, you are faithful. You are good. Come on, why don't you thank him for his faithfulness, for his goodness, for his grace. We thank you, Jesus. Put some words on your lips right now. Jesus, we thank you, God. Nothing is wasted. Lord, you use everything, Lord God, for good in our lives. When we keep in there, when we keep following you, Lord, and even when we've drifted, Lord God, you redeem our lives, and you redeem, Lord, those circumstances that we've been in, Lord God, in order to make us stronger, to make us who we're supposed to be, make us who we're born to be, make us carriers of your grace and your mercy, God. God, you are so good. Maybe it's just before we close, so maybe there's one or two people here today and you're in a situation where you've never known Jesus. You've never known this incredible Savior, and you want to. Or maybe you've known him and you're in a, you know, maybe you're like in an Andy situation, or one of these guys who said there was a time where I'd known something, but I was away. And maybe even in this moment today, you can say, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. And we're all going to pray a prayer right now. I'll pray and you pray after me. And if this is for you today, this can be a significant moment. This will make your year. This will finish off your year really, really well. Are you ready to pray with me? Everyone ready to pray? Come on, let's pray this. Father God, thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you you sent him because you love me. Thank you that he died for me. Thank you that he took upon himself everything that would separate me from you. All my sin and all my shame. Forgive me for going my own way. I want to go your way. I want to know the life that you have for me. Cleanse me on the inside. Fill me with your spirit. And lead me in your incredible path for me. In Jesus' name. Everybody say it. I'm just going to give you a moment. If that is you today saying amen for the first time to a prayer like that, or coming back to God, I just would love you to, while other eyes are closed, just to lift your hand so I can see. If that's you today, is there anybody here today saying, hey, yes, Jesus, I'm coming back to you, or I'm coming to you for the first time? This can be your moment. Just let me see. So we're believing for a whole load of people over the next 12 months. Whole load of people from my life, from your life, from our world. God's good, isn't he? God's good, isn't he? Why don't we stand? We're going to clap, give God some praise, and then we're going to sing.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We'd love to hear how God is working in your life through this ministry. If you've got a story to share, email us at mybestlife@hopecitychurch.tv. And why not join us this weekend for one of our weekend services? For details of a service near you, or for more information about Hope City Church, visit us online at hopecitychurch.tv. See you next time.